Got a little failed plan from the Super Bowl here in just a moment, this segment. But let's take a quick phone call here, 537-1350, to join us. Larry from Manhattan, you got a question about the game last night. What's up?
Yeah, I'm just curious. You know, their KU's comeback started when they pulled both DJ and Wade out at the same time. And I can't see that making sense, but maybe you can. I didn't think they, you know, I'd pull them out when they couldn't perform, but they were performing and they got pulled out.
Are you talking about
the way you pull people out and stop that momentum, that energy you had? Because when they come out, that's when the momentum stopped.
Right, I got you. You're referencing the first half when it's 20-8 in the first half.
Right, right. We'd have scored another 5-6 points then, you know. When we had the momentum, we might have won the game.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Larry, and I appreciate the phone call. I'm trying to glance here real quick just fly through the box score. Like, the thing I remember from then was them having a lineup where Corby Irvin was the only guard in the game, and there were a couple turnovers and just not real good offensive possessions. I mean, I'm with you. I thought things got very interesting with the lineups that they had on the floor at that point in time, and that is if you want to look back on a point in the game and say that's something to be disappointed about that we got away with. I said the two are you didn't take advantage of Josh Jackson's foul trouble as much as you should, and then the other one is that you didn't bury him more early.
I do remember right around that period that K-State tried to give DJ a couple of minutes of rest on the bench, and they brought Isaiah Maurice in the front court at that period of time, and that really didn't work, and that may be something else that Larry is talking about there, because obviously Isaiah Maurice is not going to be able to do nearly as much for you as you're trying to stretch out a 12-point lead.
I agree, and part of that then is sometimes you are going to have to get those guys a breather on the bench, and this team does not have a ton of quality depth at this point in time, and that's, again, just we're going back 2-3 years as to why that is the scenario that you're in, but that's the scenario that you're in with this team, so it sort of all comes back to the same thing. Let's talk with Dan in Wamego. What's going on, Dan?
Oh, not bad. Hey, I'm sure there's a logical explanation, but don't understand it. They're taking 68 teams to the tournament. You're ranked roughly, 35th? So it means there's 30-some teams below you, and you're on the bubble? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, yeah, I hear you. Well, so all the automatic bids, you got to think of all the automatic bids from the small conferences. And Mitch, do you mind looking that up real quick, the specific number, what we're talking about? But there's enough automatic bids from small conferences that are going to be 15 to 20 of those spots.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about, I would say, yeah, probably 15 to 20 spots that are taken by teams that RPI-wise might be in the hundreds. But because they're the conference champions, they're gonna get in there. So you're only talking about maybe 45 at-large bids.
32 automatic bids.
Okay, there you go. So 32, right, 32 automatic bids. Now, obviously, some of those are Power 5 conferences and leagues, right, where, you know, West Coast Conference, whatever, where you're going to have teams like Gonzaga that would be in the field anyway, Gonzaga, St. Mary's, something like that. But that, Dan, is why.
Okay, well, I knew there were some of those, but I didn't realize there were that many that would have been ranked that low that are automatic in.
Yeah. Well, hey, I appreciate the phone call, Dan. And, I mean, that's some of why I think some people would have the argument with you, you know, what do you do with the tournament long term? You know, would it be more fun and entertaining without those conference chances?
Yes.
That's another debate for another day. Lots of Kansas K-State talk still to come on the show. Cole Manbeck's going to be on at 5:10, and we've even got a little bit to squeeze in at the end of the hour. But I did want to, you know, we have not had any time to really react to the Super Bowl. We're going to do it in our own way here, and that is the fact that, one, I made some prop bets with John in Vegas, and I'm going to give myself a little report card here. If you remember, the first thing that I was really high on, and honestly, this might have been like the most confident pick I had, and I lost, and that was Luke Bryan coming out in blue jeans. He came out in black jeans. Black jeans.
Okay,
the national anthem.
I thought the bet was just jeans. I didn't know that they had to be blue.
No, it was blue jeans because I remember. Okay. I saw people tweeting about the fact that they lost the bet because, like, the official ruling is they got to be blue jeans.
Okay,
blue jeans. So it was not blue; they were black. He also wore a brown belt with it, which, like, come on, Luke, brown belt, black jeans.
He makes more money than you. He can decide what he wants to wear,
I suppose. Also, Lady Gaga's hair, I said, would be blonde.
No.
Or I said would not be blonde. I thought she would go crazy. and she did not. She definitely did some crazy things that, honestly, I thought was awesome in the halftime performance, but the hair was blonde, so I lost that one.
Mitch and I both had that one right.
Off to an 0-for-2 start, but I made up for it with the two mention ones that I hit here, and I'll explain that. One was the number of Gronk or Gronkowski mentions, and I pretty much nailed that spot on. They showed him on camera twice, and his name got mentioned twice. I said under 2.5, so I won that one. Happy about that. I really didn't think that there was going to be. Now, I also thought the Patriots would be consistently moving the ball really well on offense and not stumbling all over themselves like they did for a half. So that, honestly, you know, if you would have told me after the first half, I would have thought, well, I'm probably done here because they're going to start lamenting the fact that they don't have Gronk out there.
If Martellus Bennett would have been, you know, like in the MVP conversation, if he would have had a huge game, I think Gronk would have got brought into the conversation.
True, that would have been like the opposite side, yeah.
Right.
Now, the other one that I won was the number of Trump mentions under 1.5. I don't think there was a single one.
Nope.
Which was what I thought, that they were going to stay away from that because the whole country needed to get away from that for a little bit, and that was accomplished with what happened in the Super Bowl broadcast. So I honestly give them a lot of props for that. And then the final one here is the kicker, and whether or not you want to say that I came out even or I won in terms of just number of bets. Obviously, I didn't get the specific numbers on like what the line, like how much you would have won for betting either of these. I'm keeping it simple because John in Vegas is not the expert that Kelly in Vegas is. But the kicker was I had number of field goals made by both teams versus Tiger Woods' birdies in his final round of whatever tournament was going on. It was like in Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Tiger Woods withdrew, and I said that there would be more field goals made than birdies for Tiger. So technically, because there was one field goal made in the Super Bowl, I would win that. But I guess I say technically. I would imagine technically in Vegas that one comes off the board because Tiger withdraws from the final.
Yeah, I believe it did come off the board. But okay. Hey, we're making the rules here. We're not letting Vegas dictate this, so I'm going to go ahead and give you the win on that.
You know what? I will let you out there decide. If you think I'm a winner then for the Super Bowl, you can ring it up. Or if you think that it was just a draw and I didn't make anything out of all that, that's your prerogative as well. I'll give you that option. I'm not going to cram any alternative facts down your throat and make you decide one way or the other. As far as your plan that backfired, it was going to be a segment based on our tweet of the moment, except it was going to be just our friend Brady's tweets from the game because he's such a diehard Patriots fan. And I could tell you, I watched the game with him. All but, like, the first quarter.
God bless you.
So I got there right as things were really going downhill. Downhill fast. And then I got to see the entire rise and comeback and everything. So I actually went through and tracked his tweets, which I was not aware of what he was tweeting when it was happening live. But in the aftermath, it is pretty funny. And I think it backfires on you because some of the best part is, like, just how it ends. And he actually did something at halftime that turned out to be pretty prophetic. So early on, the first one that I got a chuckle out of was just LOL Luke Bryan. I have no idea what that was in reference to, but something, I guess, about him being out there for the national anthem. So then, here's this one. Feeling good, blunt gets going, it's over. That was at 6:04. At 6:08, he tweets just a four-letter word, which was because LeGarrette Blount fumbled, and that was a huge play early in the game. Then there was just back-to-back tweets. One said, "Welp," and the other one was just ellipses. Just dot, 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 dot. That'd be the pick six when things are really bottoming out. Then at halftime, he posted this clip from the movie Apollo 13 about it being our finest hour, even though things are not going well. I don't remember the specific clip or whatever. But that turned out to be pretty prophetic, and he just put "gotta believe" with that. So that was when things really got going, with one little blip, and that was "worst Super Bowl ever," which was a tweet that came after, I'm sure, the Falcons scored to go up by 25 at 28-3. So
it was indeed.
At this point, he's gone from things aren't going well early, but I'm still feeling okay, to the turnover, very angry, to the pick six, shock. Then at halftime with the Apollo 13 thing, we're buying back in, we can do this, let's believe. Then the Falcons score. Then he's in such a bad place, he starts just turning to humor. And his humor was this tweet. "This broadcast is fake. Patriots are winning. Media is being very unprofessional and dishonest." So he starts turning to humor at that point in time. And then on the upward part of this whole deal, there was a tweet, just "holy crap, oh my God, and then one that was holy blank yes with like 100 exclamation points. And then it was just on to like a bunch of post-game stuff that he was retweeting. So you can tell the entire story of the Super Bowl just based on our Patriots fan friend Brady from the Cover 5's tweets throughout the game. And now, if you thought he was insufferable before, my friend, he just got yet another Super Bowl title, won basically the greatest Super Bowl in history with the greatest comeback in history that cemented Tom Brady's legacy as the greatest quarterback in history. So get ready for a lot more insufferability.
Do you know how many rushing plays the Falcons called after they took a 28-3 lead?
Not many. You know, it reminds, as life as a Chiefs fan, feels very relatable to how the Falcons lost that game.
Five.
Mm-hmm.
Five rushing plays after a 28-3 lead.
They're, I'm sure, in Atlanta having the exact same conversations Chiefs fans and everybody associated with Chiefs Kingdom were having after that playoff loss to the Colts a few years ago.
Heck, K-State football fans can relate to that a little bit.
Oh, sure. Sure. But yeah, I remember all the talk after that Colts loss was, if they had literally just taken a knee after they had the 38-10 lead on every offensive snap, they would have won the game because it would have ran off enough clock. But we know that's not what happened and not how it went. Cole Maybeck's going to be on at 5:10. When we come back, an unlikely star emerged from the game last night. We'll tell you about it here on The Game.